Well, thank you very much. I think the verse that you were trying to remember at the beginning is Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world. You know, it's interesting that you mentioned that verse. That a similar verse is found or a similar thought is found in Psalm 8 that starts off, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants you have ordained praises because of your enemies to silence the foe of the avenger. And then verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man, that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. And actually, both of those verses I memorized and learned when I was a little kid. You know, I went to a program called Awana. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but we had it at our church. And as a kid, I memorized these verses. And so I knew them. You know, I could tell you where they found the Bible and say the words. But there was an experience in my life when I was up at Anvil Island Bible Camp. Many of you or some of you have been there up at Anvil Island. One of the beautiful things about Anvil is just where it's set. It's out on an island in the ocean. Nothing is around it. And because of that, it's run by its own power generator. And every night they switch it off. And when they switch it off, it becomes silent is one thing, and it becomes pitch black. And so you can just see the stars like you can't see them here. And I remember I was probably, is when I was in my young teens, and I was up at a summer camp there, and I remember just, I was at the time just kind of going through, okay, I believe in God, but, and you know, I'm a Christian, I know Jesus died for me, but what does this all mean? And maybe going a bit deeper with my faith. And I remember just lying out there. I'll be honest, I'd snuck out onto the upper field. I snuck out of my cabin. I was lying there. I was looking at the stars. And all of a sudden, those verses had a new and fresh meaning to me. I'd known them from since I was a kid. But all of a sudden, they had a new meaning. I understood them in a deeper way. They had fresh meaning. They spoke to me in a way that they hadn't spoken to me before. Lots of people will talk about they have a life verse or a verse that just has somehow captured them in their life and it speaks to them in a special way. For me, one of those verses is actually Isaiah chapter 40, 31. It says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Again, that is a verse that I knew from a child. It's actually one of my favorite verses because as a little kid, I was obsessed with eagles. I'd buy eagle postcards, eagle posters, have them up in my room. You know, most people had hockey players. I had some hockey players up in my room, but they also had eagles. I'd even make my family, believe it or not, go on trips up to Squamish. Has anyone ever been to Squamish? You know, it's all right, but not exactly a destination, so to speak. But I'd make him go up there in the middle of the winter because the bald eagles would go there in the winter. It's one that they actually call it the bald eagle capital of the world. And so that's how much I loved eagles, is I would make my family go on trips. It'd be like my birthday present. I'd say, well, what do you want to do for your birthday, Steve? I'm like, I want to go up to Squamish and look at eagles. And so that's when I was a little kid. So that's why I loved the verse then. But is, oh, thank you very much. Yeah, don't put it down the hole. Right there. But you know, it was, and so I knew this verse. And I've always enjoyed it. But it was, again, later on in my life. It was on the first time I went to Panama. I had an extended period in my life there where I was in Panama on a mission trip for 2 months. I came back home was home for 3 days, and then set off for the next 2 months to work back to 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 back weeks of summer camp. I just put, I think of the 8 weeks of summer, I had six and a half of them were summer camps. And people thought, how are you going to be able to do that? And I remember thinking that myself, kind of halfway through, I thought, I'm exhausted. How am I going to be able to go for another 5 or 6 weeks, you know, running with these kids, going at full board? And I remember this verse came to my mind, that if my hope is in the Lord, not myself, I won't grow weary and I won't faint. The verse before that say, even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. And I was a little younger then, so I could identify with that verse a bit more. And I thought, yeah, you know, if I do this myself, I'm gonna burn out. I'm not gonna be able to keep going for a full 4 months. But you know, and so at that moment I said, oh Lord, I hope in you. And all of a sudden that verse, even though I'd known it all my life, took on new meaning because I experienced the truth of that verse in my life. And so because of that, it had a relevance in my life that it didn't have before. It had fresh meaning. You know, our relationship with God should be one that is fresh, that's relevant every day of our lives. Our relationship with God is not supposed to be something that is stagnant. I grew up, and I'm sure Dave can identify this, the church kind of background that I have emphasized and maybe overemphasized, well, when and where were you saved? Remember, just doesn't matter how you are now, but think back. Do you remember a time in the past when you came to know God? And of course, that's the foundation. Actually, we're going to look at that this morning. That's the foundation is when were you saved? But they emphasize at the point where they weren't so concerned of, what about now in your life? How are you today walking with the Lord? What's your life like now? That question was rarely asked. It was always asked, what about the past? Is there some time in the past? But our relationship with God, it's about, the Bible describes it as a walk with God. Day by day. It needs to be fresh. The Bible says that God's new mercies are new every morning. And my question is, are you experiencing these daily mercies, the love and compassion of God in your life? We're going to look at a small theme that runs through the Bible this morning. And it's singing a new song. Singing a new song. I'm going to start by looking in Psalm chapter 40. So if you have your Bible, open to Psalm 40. In the Psalms, there's 6 times where it talks about singing a new song to the Lord. To sing a new song to the Lord. We also find in the book of Isaiah and twice in the book of Revelation this little phrase, sing a new song to the Lord. And I want to look at this phrase and think about it for a bit this morning. Singing a new song to the Lord. I'm just going to move the flowers over here. Keep on kicking them. But it's to sing a new song to the Lord. What does that mean? Isaiah 40, and I'll start verse 1 and read through the first 3. It says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. And so my first question, maybe the obvious question is, what does the Bible mean when it says to sing a new song? Does that mean we can't sing the same song we sang last week? Does that mean that we shouldn't be singing some of those old classic hymns? I think most of us here think, definitely not. That's not what it means. What does it mean, a new song? As I started thinking about this, I've been thinking about this past week, and what does that mean, a new song? I thought, well, what does that word new mean? What does it mean when it says a new song? What's the difference between a new song and an old song? Is it the publishing date? Well, the Hebrew word used, new, there, doesn't necessarily mean new as in original. And that is the key for me. as I started studying this passage and other passages, as I did a little word study on new, and actually each time that the Bible says, at least in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, says to sing a new song, the Hebrew word used actually implies fresh, a recent song. New in terms of its freshness, not new in terms of its originality. Although that is also part of the meaning, the emphasis is on, is this a new song in terms of recent, something that's fresh in your life? And that's what I want to look at this morning, think of this morning. Are the songs that we are singing, are they fresh? Have we been recently experiencing them, recently knowing them as truth in our own life? To sing a new song, one commentator put, requires that we have new affection for our Lord. To sing a new song requires new affection for our Lord. There are often times where I'll sing songs that I've known from childhood. And as I sing them, I realize that I say, yes, that is true what I'm singing. I've experienced that. And as I sing it, the words are the same, but my spirit is new. It's fresh. I sing it with a new, fresh spirit saying, yeah, Lord, that is true. You are above all. Or you were crucified for me. And I do, you know, recognize and realize that in my life. To sing a new song is to sing a fresh song. It requires that we have fresh experience with God. Or else the songs that we sing become old songs. We're going to look a bit later that when I talk about singing a new song, I'm not just talking about what we sing on a Sunday morning. There's a thought, and actually a song has been put to it, but it's a thought of, what's your life song? You know, what's the attitude of your heart? As we think about singing a song to God, it's about singing praise to God. And what is your praise to God in your life? What is your worship? The Bible tells us in Romans that, you know, our whole lives, our bodies are to be offered as, to God as an act of worship, a spiritual act of worship. And what is your life speaking to God? Is it a new song, or are you going through the motions in your life? Are you just doing the same old things that you've done because you do them, not because they have relevant and significant meaning in your life? So what is a new song? What is the content of a new song? This Psalm 40 kind of puts us on the right track of thinking what it is. It comes primarily from experiencing God's salvation. In those first three verses, it talks about how God lifted the psalmist out of the miry clay, out of despair, and being stuck under the pit, and he moved him and he put him onto the solid rock. We can look back and read that and just think of the imagery that is there of how God has rescued us out of sin and put us on the rock that is Jesus Christ. And so the primary theme of a new song is God's salvation. That is what we are singing about. That is what needs to be moving us in our lives as Christians. It's not our acts of service, what we can do, but it's what God has done. God's salvation. In Psalm 96 and 98 are two psalms that also speak about singing a new song. Psalm 96 says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all peoples. Psalm 98 says, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The theme of our song is God's saving act in our lives, how He has saved us. And we think of this both in terms of how He has saved us because of the work He's done on the cross, that once and for all saving, He's given us eternal life. He's secured our salvation. But it's also how He saves us in our daily lives, how He transforms us and renews us into the image of His Son. That is the theme of our new song to the Lord. In Psalm 98, it says, He has done marvelous things.
It's not a marvelous thing, a once upon a time thing that God has done. He's doing marvelous things in our lives. That is the theme of our song. How God is saving us. God has saved us from the punishment, the penalty of sin. But He's also saving us on a day-to-day basis from the power of sin in this world. And we look forward to how one day He will save us from the presence of sin when we'll be with Him in eternity. And so singing a new song is an expression of gratitude for our salvation. That is the theme of our worship. Is that it's expressing gratitude for God for what He has done. It's also expressing gratitude to God for who He is. A new song is when we also recognize not only what God is doing in our lives, but also who He is in a new way. You know, I can know that God, for example, provides. It's something we know about God. It's one of the ways He's revealed in the Bible, that the Lord is my provider. But we know it and experience it when He provides for us in our lives. You know, it's, yes, Lord, I know You're provider. And we can sing about that and talk about that at church. But you know, when you have experienced God's provision in your life, maybe you are in a financial hardship situation, and the Lord provides in a way that you know it's only the Lord providing. Well, you know, you experience that and you know God as provider in a fresh way, a new way, because of what He's doing in your life. Although in the Psalms it explicitly talks about singing a new song, if you look through the Bible, it's actually a frequent occurrence in the Bible, singing a new song. My wife and I are reading through Exodus right now. We're aiming to, by Easter, to finish the book of Exodus. And so, most nights, we're able to read a chapter before we go to bed. So we just thought, hey, it's a 40 chapters in the book of Exodus. We started 40 days before Easter, and so we're reading through it. And a few days ago, we came and we read in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus 15 is what happens. It's what's happened just before Exodus 15 is that God has delivered His people Israel across the Red Sea. He's parted the Red Sea. It wasn't Moses that parted the Red Sea. We always say, oh, Moses parted the Red Sea. No, He didn't. He held a staff. God parted the Red Sea. And God's people walked across. And they are delivered. And the Egyptians who were following them, boom, were destroyed. And as the people of Israel cross over and find themselves safe on the other side, delivered from the Egyptians who were chasing them, they break out into song. Chapter 15 is actually, most of it is just a chapter full of a song that Moses and Miriam, it starts off, said, then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for He is highly exalted, the horse and its rider. He is hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. We see that recurring theme, that the Lord is the source of the song. In Psalm 40, it says, the Lord has put a new song in my mouth. He is the source of the song. And what else is the theme of the song? Well, that He, God, is our salvation. There's a definite theme that runs through the Bible when it talks about a song and singing a song. There's songs about God's salvation, who He is and what He has done. So He is my God and I will praise Him, my Father's God, and I will exalt Him. There's freshness to that. The people of Israel had known that God, you had known God as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. They'd known Him as their ancestors' God. But now He said, He is my God. They've known Him in a new way, and they sing a new song to the Lord because of that. Later, Miriam sings again that first line, sing to the Lord a new song, for He is highly exalted, the horse and its rider. He is hurled into the sea. That really struck me, and I'll tell you why. As my wife and I were reading through the book of Exodus, we looked at the 10 plagues. And What were the 10 plagues that God brought on Egypt accomplishing? What did they accomplish? They accomplished several things. God had a purpose. He said that he's raised Pharaoh up so that he could bring him down and defeat him so that God's name would be exalted in all of the nations. In doing that, God had also, the 10 plagues all have meaning behind them too. If you study through them, you see that each plague attacks and defeats a different deity of the Egyptian people. The turning the Nile and water into blood. Well, the Egyptians had the god of the Nile. And God was stronger. He was exalted above that god. They had the god of the harvest. Well, God decimated the harvest through the hail and the locusts. It was gone. With the frogs and the flies, some of the Egyptian deities had the appearance of a frog. They'd have a frog head or a fly head. And God brought torment from that. God showed that he is greater than those gods. They had the sun god. Well, what did God do? He blocked out the darkness. He exalted himself systematically above every single deity that the Egyptians had, culminating in the Egyptians believed that Pharaoh was part deity and that the firstborn son was a god born, a deity as well. And God acted by defeating and killing the firstborn. And so God had already exalted himself as the God above all other gods. That act of salvation had already happened. And so as I read the song of Miriam and Moses saying, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted." Why? The horse and the rider he has hurled into the sea. God had already exalted himself, but now they are singing a new song. Because God had shown his deliverance in a new way. And because God had shown his deliverance in a new way, they had something new, something more to sing about in their lives. It needs to be the same in our lives. How are you experiencing God in your daily lives? How do you know God? Is there freshness to it? Or do you have to look back a while to think of when you experienced God, when you recognized his hand in your life? As I said, sometimes we might just need to have our eyes open to recognize it. But we also sing new songs when we experience God in a fresh, new way in our lives. Sometimes we learn to sing songs when things don't go our way. I'll give you an example. Just over a week ago on a Friday night, I had, usually my wife will have the car, she'll drive to work and all. On Fridays, I work up at SFU. I go up and I have the International Student Ministry. But last Friday, I took the car up because after the International Student Group that I have, I was going to go speak at a youth group at a different church. They'd invited me to speak and I'd said that I would go. And so I had the car and it was pouring rain, as is often common in Vancouver. And so I was driving from SFU to this other church. And I was going along King George Boulevard, in Surrey. Driving along, and I came to a stoplight. And I waited. It turned green, and I started accelerating and started going. And right away, boom, the flashing lights behind me. I looked down, and I thought, well, at least I know I wasn't speeding. I'm just starting up, and I'm like, I know that was a green light. And so I pull over and I wait. And you know how it is if you get pulled over by a cop. They make you wait. They might be, hopefully you don't know, but trust me, they make you wait, right? They're not jumping up friendly. And so I'm sitting there, and I was already late for this youth group. And I texted the guy who had invited me as I was leaving from SFU saying, hey, I got caught up in some things here. I'll be there, but I'll be, 5 or 10 minutes late. And so I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my goodness. And part of it was I'd never spoken at this church before, too. And so it's kind of that, you're thinking, okay, first impression. Well, there goes that first impression, I'm the guy who comes late. And I'm sitting there, I'm waiting. I'm thinking, what could it be? What's wrong? And I'm thinking, I just didn't know. So I just thought, I'll wait. And the cop comes eventually, and she knocks, and She says, do you know that your brake lights aren't working? I thought, oh, well, no, I can't see my brake lights. They're behind me. I said, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. And she says, is this your car? I said, no, it's my wife's. And she's like, okay, well, can I see your license and then the registration? And my wife and I have recently moved since we got married. And yeah, so you guys know. And so she kind of looked, she said, well, which address do you live at? I'm like, actually, neither of those. And she goes, oh, well, you know, you only had 10 days to change these things. And I thought, oh, I didn't know that, actually. So anyways, and so she goes, I'll be back in a minute. Off she goes to the car, and she takes... You know, I thought she took a long time coming the first time. Well, this second time, it's taking forever. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, well, you know, I'm now 25 minutes late. I'm like, well, I'm now 30 minutes late. And she finally comes back, and she says, well, you know, here's the deal. I'm not going to give you... I'm going to give you a ticket just for one of your violations for not having updated your new address on your license. So, you know, here's that $100 ticket. I'm like, oh, my goodness. And she says, but, you know, I noticed something interesting. She goes, and she walks back to that car. She says, could you step on your brakes again? So I do. And she says, you know what? The lights are coming on. And I'm sitting there thinking, you know, I was pulled over for not having working brake lights. It turns out one of my lights was not working. So, but, you know, she pulled me over because she thought I had no working brake lights. It turns out I did. But in that process of pulling over, I got a ticket, $100, $109 actually. And you know, I was not a happy guy. I was like, man. And so I drove, and so she's like, have a good night. And I was like, yeah, you too, you know. You know, it's actually really interesting because that night I was speaking to the youth. I was talking about how in any situation we have to be looking for the ways of God and the path that God would have us go down. And so I'm going, well, I know what I want to be thinking about this lady, but what would God, okay. So, and I'm praying my way to the youth group, and unfortunately they are still going on with their games and whatnot, but what was really getting me, I was like, oh, it's, I had to go check in within 48 hours to a police station to show that the lights were working. I thought, oh, you know, I have to work all day tomorrow, and speaking of work, now I'm going to be working for almost no money because all the money that I was going to make is half of it's going to go pay off, most of it's going to go pay off this ticket, and I was just like, oh. And it was the next, and so that night I just wasn't happy. And it was the next morning I had to get up early, and, you know, I'm just thinking through my mind, I'm working today for nothing. I'm working today because that police woman made a mistake, and in her mistake found out, yes, the technicality of what I was doing wrong, but... And, you know, as I was there, I thought, okay, I'm focusing on the wrong things. And, you know, I just, as I started my work day, I have a very simple job. I pack boxes. And so it gives me time to think about other things. And so as I was sitting there, I was packing the boxes, I was thinking, I'm going to try to think about the Lord in this. And in doing so, God reminded me of all the things that He had given me in my life. He reminded me, he said, Steve, you're angry that, you know, you're working today for almost nothing. Why aren't you thankful that I gave you this job that you had prayed for? A job that pays well enough and that's really easy and you don't have to think and works around your schedule. And I thought, yeah, you know, Lord, I should be thankful for this job even though I'm not getting money today. And, you know, by the time of my first break came around, my whole attitude had changed because I'd focused on what the Lord had done in my life and what the Lord did give me. And I went from being a grumbly, angry guy, because I walked into that work. Usually I walk in, I'm like, hey guys, how you doing? I walked in that day and I'm like, didn't talk to anyone, moved right to my desk, started my work. I was angry. But the Lord put a new song in my heart, a whole new perspective on that situation. My song changed. It actually changed back the next day on the Sunday, and Rebecca can maybe tell you that story of another misinformation that the policewoman gave me about which specific... She told me I had to report to a specific RCMP station when I... Anyways, that's a whole other story. I had to relearn the lesson to think that. But the point is, when we focus on the Lord, when we change our perspective, look at Him, He puts a new song in our heart, and it changes us. It changes us and how we act. And so I'm going to look at, as we move on, you know, what do we sing? How do we sing? What are we singing in our lives? What is in our life? The first point that I'll get to is that, first of all, we're singing to the Lord. You know, we're not singing for anyone else or for any other reason, but to God and for what He has done and for who He is. In Psalm 96, as it goes down, telling us to sing a new song, it goes on to talk about this new song. And in verse 7 and 8, it says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O family of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. Tremble before Him, all the earth." In Psalm 40, it talks about, "The Lord put a new song in my mouth, a hymn to the Lord." We're singing to the Lord, and we're singing about who He is and what He has done. Sing about who God is and what He has done. What I love about that is one of them is constant. Who God is. God doesn't change. And no matter what situation we find in our lives, because it's easy to think along these lines, think, well, how can I sing a new song to God because, you know, things aren't going right in my life? But we sing a new song based on who God is. That doesn't change. And as we focus and reflect on that, our hearts should change. When we think about who God is and what He has done, that's one of the things I love about worship, is it transforms us. When we focus in on God and who He is and what He's done, it transforms us. I learned this one of the first times I ever spoke at a church, the first time I had to preach, because I was nervous. I was just shaking in my boots. In fact, I had to go step outside of the church building. I was so nervous. And then that didn't help, because as soon as I walked outside the church building, I'm like, okay, no one's here. You know, give me the pat on the back saying it's going to be okay, you know. And I walked out of the church building, and then two cars pulled up, and they were full of my friends who had found out that I was speaking and had come from their churches to my church to hear me. I'm like, oh man, I'm so nervous. And so I walked back inside, and we're singing praise about who God is. And it was so good for me, because all of a sudden I remembered, it's not about who I am and what I'm saying. I'm talking about a God who is above all, who has given everything, a God who is all-powerful. And when I focused in on who He was, everything inside of me transformed and changed. And that's why we sing a new song to the Lord, is we focus on who He is. And the second aspect is what He has done. The salvation that He has given us, the way that He's working in our lives, the marvelous deeds that He is doing. And so we're singing to Him. And this requires turning our attention to God, not to ourselves. You see, this is one of the key aspects of how you can sing a new song. It's by shifting your focus from yourself and what's happening, inward focus, to outward focus to God. Because then you do begin to recognize the way God is working in your life. When we become inward focused, we can't sing a new song, because everything is about ourselves and what we are doing. But when we turn our attention to God, He transforms us. And the song that we're singing, the life song that we're living, is a new song, reflecting on what God has done. But the second part, the second aspect of the new song that we sing is first of all, we sing it to the Lord. It has this vertical, if you know, we often image God up there, even though He's all around. But it has that vertical aspect. We're singing to God, but it also has a horizontal aspect. In Psalm chapter 40 and verse 3, when it says, "He put a new song in my mouth," it then says that many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. It's a song that as we sing to God, the byproduct is that those around us will hear it as well. In Psalm 96, it talks about that. It says, "Sing a new song to the Lord," but then it says, "Declare His glory among the nations." Later on, it says, And you have to ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. It says, say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so our new song needs to have both a vertical aspect, is that we're singing to the Lord, but as a byproduct, as we have new affections and new love for the Lord and sing them to Him and live our life in light of that and are transformed by what He is doing, the byproduct is that those around us will also hear that song. And it says there in Psalm 40 that they too will learn to fear the name of the Lord, to come to know the Lord. And so when we sing, we talk about singing a new song, I'm not just talking about the songs that we sing here on a Sunday morning within these walls. It goes outside of the church walls. The question, I guess, more is, what's the tune of your life? You know, what does your life sound like to those who are watching? What image do they have? What does it tell them about the God that you are singing a new song to? Of course, it can be a literal song, but I'm not saying that we need to be also going around singing songs as we walk down the road. Although, in Acts 16, that seemed to work. Paul and Silas, if you know the story, were put in prison. And what did they do there? They sang songs. Even in their bad situations, you know, they'd been beaten and thrown in prison, they found reason to sing about God's salvation. And because of that, because no matter what circumstance they found themselves in, that they were willing to give praise to God, those around them, the Philippian jailer, came to know and asked the question, you know, to paraphrase, he was like, what do you have? Because I want it. And what he actually said was, you know, sirs, what must I do to be saved? How can I also know God as you know God? You see, that's what happens when we experience God newly and freshly in our lives, is others will recognize that and ask. We see, though, throughout the Bible that there are many accounts of people who live their lives in the mercy of God, experiencing God fresh despite the circumstance. And because of that, God's glory is made known among the nations. You think of people like Joseph, who lived a righteous life and made and followed God and recognized God in everything he did in his life. And because of that, God's name was made known all throughout the palace, wherever he went. My question is, as we kind of come to the end, is I began by saying a new song requires new affection. And it's when we experience God in a way that we learn a new song. The words might be the same, but we're singing them newly because we know the truth of them. And my question is, what kind of song are you singing? Is it the same song you've been singing for a long time? And when people ask you about, you know, your relationship with Christ, you have to go back a little while. It's like, well, yeah, we know back in the day, this is what happened. I remember when I was moving back from Panama. So I went there on a short-term mission trip. I then went and lived there for 2 years. And during those 2 years, I would be back in Canada for about a month or so. And I usually took that time to speak at summer camps and whatnot. And I quickly became known as kind of the Panama guy. That when I'd be introduced, you know, when someone like Dave would say, okay, you know, Steve Scott's going to come speak to us. He'd say, you know, Steve lived and served down in Panama for a couple of years. That's kind of the introduction I would get. It was, here's someone who's lived and worked in Panama. And you know, my prayer when I was leaving from Panama, I said, one of my prayers was, Lord, in 5 years from now, even in 2 years from now, I don't want to be known as someone who went to Panama. Because I said, Lord, I want to be known as someone who's experienced you every day of their lives. I don't want to be what's known to me as something that's happened in the distant past. Lord, I want to be knowing you and experience you in new, fresh ways as I move on in my life. I didn't want to rest on past experiences that I'd had with God to be the source of my praise to Him. I wanted to be relying on His new mercies, His mercies that are new every morning. The fact that I worship and have a relationship with a living God as the source of my worship, the source of who I was, my identity in Christ. And so my question is, how fresh is your song? I had to challenge myself as I was going to ask this because I recognized that 3 weeks ago, I think it was, 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was here speaking. And I asked myself the question, how fresh is my song since 3 weeks ago when I was here? What new mercies of God have I been experiencing in my life? I found that I needed to take time to reflect and say, yes, you know, I experienced it here and here and here. And I did find some places, but as I thought about this as I was going to sleep last night, I realized, you know, there's times where looking back, I said, yeah, God was acting in my life in this, or God was present, or I did experience God's work in this area, but I failed to recognize it. And so oftentimes I find that to have a fresh song, to sing a new song to the Lord, requires that our focus needs to be on Him. We need to be looking for what He is doing, because He is at work in your lives. And so are you recognizing the work that God is doing in your life? You know, if you don't recognize it, oftentimes it goes to waste. You miss out on it transforming your life. The Bible tells us to be singing a new song. As I was studying this theme of a new song, one of the things that really encouraged me was that in the book of Isaiah, when talking about when God will rule over all nations in Isaiah 42, and all nations will be coming to Him, it says that they will sing a new song because they will know God in a way that has never been known before. And in the book of Revelation, in chapter 5 and chapter 14, it tells us that in heaven they will be singing a new song because there they will know God in a way that we don't yet know Him. They're songs of victory, of God's salvation. And so in Revelation it talks about before the Lamb that was slain, they'll be singing a new song. That excites me because it tells me that there's more to know. A new song requires new, fresh affection for a Lord. And to think that in eternity there'll be new things to sing about as we know the Lord more and more encourages me. And so, how fresh is the song that you're singing? Are you relying on things that have happened in the past? Or are you experiencing God in new, relevant ways every day of your lives? I'm going to end the sermon here, but as I think about that, I think about oftentimes, as I also kind of reflect on, when did I have a new song to sing about the Lord? When was it fresh? Oftentimes, it requires an act of faith on my part. You see, when I act out of faith, I see God at work because I trust in Him and my focus is on looking to Him to help me because that's what faith is. I can't do it. The Lord will. And so I want to encourage you to take steps of faith in your life. And so this isn't a shameless plug, but you know, as I end, I thought, you know, one of the times that when my song to the Lord, when my knowledge of the Lord was truly transformed was when I went first actually down to Ecuador on a short-term mission trip. I saw the Lord at work down there, among the people down there, and in my own life when I went down there. And it transformed my song, gave me a fresh song. And I came back knowing God in a different way, appreciating Him and having experienced Him in a new way. Same thing happened when I moved to Panama. I knew God in a new way. And so I want to encourage you to take steps of faith in your life, to experience God, especially if you have maybe an older song. To experience God in a fresh way might require taking a step of faith. And so on this, I'll plug the Panama trip again. You know, and just really want to encourage you that if you come, you know, it will be a new experience for you. And I can almost guarantee you that that you will know and see the Lord work in a way you haven't seen Him work before. Now, it's not because there's something special about mission trip, but it's because as you take that step of faith and you go out, you'll be open to see what Lord will do. You'll see Him work in different ways, among different people. And so I just want to encourage you, if you've thought about this Panama trip, to take that step of faith. To renew your song that you are singing to the Lord. I'm just going to close in prayer, and I think we'll close up, but I just want to put that at the end. It's something that, as you can tell, I get excited about. You know, even as I was driving here this morning, I'll tell this funny story just to close, but oftentimes in Central America, people sell stuff on the street. So they have terrible traffic in Panama City, just terrible. And so what people do is they walk along the traffic selling stuff. And so as I was pulling out of my house this morning, I live by a hotel, and there's a guy who must have been staying in the hotel, but he was walking back probably with, you know, enough Egg McMuffin meals to feed an army. And so he had all these bags, but he's walking along the Meridian. And I don't know why, I'm like, oh, there's a street vendor here. And it got me excited. I was like, ah. Oh. But unfortunately, it wasn't. The McDonald's was for somewhere else. I was like, oh, that'd be great. I can stop over and go, oh, yeah, I'll have an Egg McMuffin and you pay him. But so, anyways, I don't know why I told that story, but I'll close in prayer and then we'll move on. Lord, thank you. Lord, that you can put a fresh song in our hearts. Lord, I thank you that your Spirit works in us. Lord, I just ask that you would put a fresh song into our hearts, Lord, that you would revere yourself to us, Lord. I pray for all of us who maybe have been singing the same old song, Lord, going through the motions. I pray that your Spirit would just work in our lives, Lord, and your Spirit would reignite, Lord, that and fan into flame, Lord, what you've put in there, Lord, so that we can sing a new song to you as an act of worship, Lord, and that it would be a song that is noticed by those around us, so that they too would want, Lord, what we have, a living and vibrant relationship with you. And may that be reflected in the way we live our lives everywhere. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, yeah, and so, I'll be here again in June, so.